CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Wednesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you, as we always are. I always look forward to this. I've done this program for probably 35 years, and I've never sat back and said, oh, I got to go do the radio show. I always look forward to it. It's one of the highlights of my day, and I think really one of the highlights of my life. You know, I love being a pastor and ministering God's word, being with people. But, you know, doing this each and every weekday afternoon, I just have always looked forward to it. And I just want to say thank you to all of you that listen. And, again, all of those that are part of CSN, thank you so very much. Because, again, we're doing something together we could never do apart from one another. Nobody has Learjets here. Nobody's got, you know, nice luxury cars out in the parking lot. We're just in a bean field in Idaho trying to do something to change the world. And I just want to encourage all of you to be about your Father's business and, you know, just let people know CSN is out there for them, because that's what we like to do. Minister God's word 24 hours a day. So no matter what you're going through in your life, hey, there's always something to there that'll encourage you in your relationship with God. So if you got a question you'd like to ask us, that number to call, 888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. You can be part of the program. We have Joe Jackson with us today from Sure Foundation Church, Keaau, Hawaii, about 12 miles south of Hilo, Hawaii, off of Highway 130, where the white picket fence is between Kaholi and Paradise Drive. Hey, Joe, good to have you with us.
Great to be on the show with you today, Pastor Mike. And you know, it's always a joy to dive into God's word with you and different callers who call in. And I'm just so grateful for this program, To Every Man an Answer, because even in my life, God used this ministry and this radio show as a tool to help me grow in God's word and grow in my doctrine. And so it's always great to be on the show with you, Pastor Mike.
Amen. I always look forward to being with you too, Joe. And what's going on at Sure Foundation this Sunday?
Yes, so this Sunday I'm sharing, and I'm going to be looking at two stories in the gospel, one of the centurion that sins for Jesus and then tells Jesus, you don't even have to come into my house, just say the word and my servant will be healed. And the Bible says Jesus was amazed by his great faith. And then I'll look at another story where Jesus is in his hometown and he was rejected, and he was amazed, the Bible says, by their lack of faith. And so two times in the gospel, Christ was amazed, one by great faith, and the other time he was amazed by a lack of faith. And the question is, if he were to look at our faith, would he be amazed at how great our faith is or the lack of faith that we have? But the good news is faith is like a muscle. It's something that grows as we see God's faithfulness in our life. So we'll dig into that and jump into God's word this Sunday.
Yeah, and you know, I tell people everywhere, faith is not faith in faith. Faith is faith in God. And there's a big difference, because so much teaching out there is bouncing around that says, well, you know, you just have to have faith that you're going to get that new refrigerator, or you're going to get that new car, or, you know, and you just got to use your magic faith words and you get. No, see, that's not what real faith is. Real faith is in God. Jesus said, if you had the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea. But the faith is in God, that it is in his will. And oftentimes, sometimes when we say, well, as in James, I prayed and God didn't answer my prayer. James tells us the reason we didn't get our prayers answered is because we want to consume the answer on our fleshly lusts. But you know, I think our Father in heaven, when he hears us pray for one another, I think that touches his heart in such a way, because he loves us. And I you know, anybody here that's got kids, you want to do great things for your kids. And you know, it's amazing. It doesn't matter whether they're 1 year old or whether they're 40 years old. You just want to bless your kids because you love them. God's the same way. For God so loved the world. And I am always amazed by that, Joe. While we're all out there stumble bumbling around in our sins, God says, hey, as a matter of fact, buddy, I love you. and digs us out of this slime in the world that we oftentimes find ourselves in, and dusts us off and makes something wonderful in our life. So again, anybody listening, there's a great promise for you. If you're not a Christian, God's not only got a great life for you here now, but he's got a great life for you in eternity. And you know, whatever that is, I know that God's going to use us to do his will. So I just want to encourage you, give us a call, 8888-ASK-CSN, if you want to be part of the program today. To the phones we go, We have Tim on the line, Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, and welcome.
Hey, guys. I was looking for some advice on how to approach somebody that professes to be a Christian, but due to their actions, you can clearly see that they are not, due to the constant lies, probably stemming from the alcoholism.
Sure, sure. You know, I think a person has to really examine why they're drinking, because usually a person drinks to get a buzz on, and why? Well, here's a couple of problems. Number one, people drink because they don't like themselves. And so if I alter myself, then I can accept myself. Another thing they think, well, if I get a buzz on, I'm going to loosen up and everybody's going to like me. Well, first of all, not everybody's going to like you, no matter whether you're buzzed or unbuzzed. The second big problem we have here is that if you think you've got to get a buzz on to like yourself, should tell us there's something horribly wrong with the way we're living our life. There's three things a person needs: a self they can live with, a reason to live for, and a faith to live by. You see, it's not really a 12-step program to get out of alcoholism. It's a one-step program, realizing that God loves me, and because he loves me, I can love me, and I don't have to get obliterated to accept myself for who I am. Isn't that great news? Now, some people get hooked up, though, with alcohol. They have an addiction. Now, I do believe God delivers people from alcoholism. Absolutely, he does. But we have to understand, if you're a Christian, don't ever start. Because again, the Proverbs tells us in chapter 20, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and those that are deceived by it are not wise. So we have to be remember that. Solomon also tells us in Proverbs, wine is not for kings. We're king's kids, man. Live like it. Right. The next verse I like to point out is Ephesians chapter 5. I call it an Ephesians 5th. That's what you need. It says, be not drunk with wine or in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So yeah. I think, first of all, Tim, I think if I was to talk to somebody about their drinking, I think the first question I would ask them is, why do you do it? Now, if they're sick, in other words, they're hooked up, they're addicted, they need help, and they're going to have to get help. Because generally, people cannot kick addictions on their own. However, I do believe that God does intervene if we want to get serious. We want to step out in faith. You say, well, how do you step out in faith? Well, you know, whether you're addicted to pot or drugs or alcohol, the first step of faith is, if you do not buy it, you cannot drink it. If you do not buy it, you cannot smoke it. I believe that's an act of faith. Okay, God, I'm going to trust you that when I feel the urge coming on, rather than giving into these things, I'm going to read your word. Because the Bible tells us the Spirit will rule over the flesh if we'll feed it. It's the two dogs fighting inside of me, the old adage goes. Well, which one's winning? The one you feed. You feed the flesh, you're going to reap the flesh. You sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap the Spirit. It's your decision. But God honors faith. And again, when we step out and say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to do this anymore. So, Tim, what I would do is I would ask your friend, why are you drinking? You know, what is the reason? And if he says, I can't stop, I'm hooked up, then you'll know what to do there. If he says, well, I don't know, you know, I just socially drink. Well, couple of problems. Who are you socializing with that you have to drink to be accepted? There's a big problem there. Now, people say, well, Jesus drank wine. Yeah, probably wasn't really very alcoholic. And by the way, I've been in different places in the world, in jungles and stuff, that I would want a little something in the water to kill whatever's crawling around in there, because it can be really bad. And the water in the Middle East back then, in many places even today, is pretty unfit to drink. So that is an issue. But I really think that you need to ask, why are you drinking? Because I think a lot of times people have never been challenged with that. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, and I would agree with that too. Asking why are you drinking, or even what does alcohol do for you? And then follow it up with the question, do you think that God can meet you in that need? You know, a lot of times with addiction, whether it's drugs or alcohol, it's often self-medication, where maybe the person deals with depression, anxiety, as Pastor Mike mentioned, shame, loneliness, past trauma. And so instead of seeking God for strength in these areas, they'll run to a bottle, they'll run to a substance, and it gives temporary relief. See, this is the problem with addiction, is there is temporary relief, but once the buzz wears off, that problem is still there.
Or worse. So often, or worse.
Or worse, yeah. Or worse, yeah. The next day you don't know where your car's at, you got bruises all over your body. Yeah, it's worse. And you know, that was my life too. I struggled with addiction and alcoholism. And so a lot of times people are trying to cover stuff in their past or hurts they have. And it's just pointing them to Jesus, that there's a void in our life that no drug can fill, no substance or alcohol can fill, but only Christ can fill. And even I think of that verse you quoted, Pastor Mike, the fifth there. But
Ephesians 5th, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the Ephesians 5th, not being drunk with wine where is excess, but instead being filled with the Spirit. When you think about being drunk with wine, when I was drunk, I would talk different. I would act different. I would think different because I was under the influence. And so here Paul is pointing that when we're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, we talk different. We act different. We think different. And I think that's what's key for your friend there, Tim, is just him seeing that need that he's trying to feel, only Christ can feel. Now, I will just say with alcoholism, man, it's one of the most damaging things to your body. You know, dealing with men and women who are coming out of addiction, alcoholism is really bad, and there is a danger of people as they try to detox of, you know, having all kinds of medical complications. And so depending on how far he is in his addiction, there are great programs like Adult and Teen Challenge and other Christian ministries that can help him with this. Celebrate Recovery is another great Christian weekly meeting. And as Pastor Mike said, we don't need 12 steps. We need one step, which is Jesus in our life. And there's programs that even help with that. Pastor Mike?
Yeah. And you mentioned, Tim, that he's a Christian. Has anybody in the church addressed this in his life at all? Or is the church condoning it?
Well, I'm not positive that the actual congregation knows. I know it's a female. Her parents have spoken with her, but apparently to no avail.
Well, I think you need to talk to her why she drinks. I think that's really an important part, because just as you said, Joe, when we're under the influence, we say things, we do things that we normally would never do. That is the purpose of it. Is to cause you to do things you would never do and destroy your life. You know, again, look at all the people who have gotten DWIs or destroyed their car or killed people or killed themselves, all because of this. So I think it's really important. And I think, you know, Tim, in a very kind way, going and saying, you know, I noticed that you smells like you've been drinking or whatever. I got a question for you. You know, you're very nice. You're a pretty girl. Why do you drink? And see what she says. You know, I believe that if we are good listeners, I believe a person will tell you everything wrong with them. And there may be something in her life that she's running from. Maybe sins she doesn't feel God will forgive her for. Maybe an experience that she had that was very ugly and it numbs the pain. But whatever it is, I think if you can talk to her and find out why she is drinking, just, and I would ask her, has something happened to you that you have to you know, get a buzz on to cope with life or whatever, because I believe Jesus will deliver a person from anything like that. So I think that if you can go in, Tim, as God would use you as a servant of the Most High to minister to one of his daughters, I think that's a real call. But being a good listener and listen to the Holy Spirit as you speak to her, because a lot of times they'll say something like, well, no, I'm happy. You know, I've had some bad experiences, but what bad experiences? See, and a lot of times you'll find that maybe she was molested when she was a child. You don't know what is it. You don't know what this alcohol is paving over. And is it to get a buzz on so I'll like me or help me forget what happened to me, where God stands willing to forgive her? Or to help her work through these ugly experiences in her life. Friends, I believe it's so important that we have, as it tells us in Isaiah 6, we have a wonderful counselor. And yes. And I'll tell you, we need that. We need that wonderful counselor. And so, Tim, I hope that helps.
Yeah, I do appreciate y'all's insight. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll find out. If you need us, we're here for you. And just go be about your daddy's business. So, Tim, God bless you, okay?
Thank you.
God bless you. If you'd like to give her a little book called Time to Grow, Stan Lyle, send one out to you and get that into her hands. I think it might bless her and help her grow in the Lord. And, she needs to be in fellowship. So as much as you can encourage her to be in church, I would do that. And especially in a church where the power of the Holy Spirit is operating. Because, again, the devil uses very clever hooks to destroy a person. And, the popularization of drinking, destroys so many people. It's really sad. So stay in line, Tim. We'll get you taken care of. If you need anything else, please, we're here for you. Let's go to Olivia, Palm Springs, California. Hi, welcome. Hi.
How are you?
Good. How may we help?
I caught you guys in the past, and you were wonderful. Today, this is my question for you. I got married at a very young age, at 13, had three sons, stepped away out of the marriage. I wasn't a good wife at 25. Some things have changed with me financially, and my never was my ex-husband. He came back into my life. I spent probably $200,000 on him. Now that my money's gone, I'm getting treated like a piece of garbage again. And I don't know what to do. I'm mortified. Get divorced because of what the Bible says, but I can't keep getting treated like a piece of crap.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Olivia, I'm sorry to hear this. This is very, very distressing. Now, you are legally married to him, right?
Yes.
Well, the Bible tells us God has called us to peace, not pieces. And, if you need to step out of the marriage because of abuse, and you wouldn't have been calling today and crying if you haven't been going through something, I would say until this man will get himself into some marriage counseling, perhaps at your church or something like this, to bring about an end to this abuse, you're just going to continue to have yourself destroyed. And as far as the money goes, it's really interesting to me what conditional love is. I love you as long as the money keeps coming.
Right.
Well, that's phony love. That's not real. And, I got to tell everybody this. You may never know who your friends are until everybody else walks out. You may never know who your friends are until you're broke. You may never know who your friends are till you haven't got anywhere else to go. And let me tell you something. Sometimes we need that in our life because the good time Charlies are always around. I always use the illustration when you got a car and gas and you're, a junior or senior in high school, you're everybody's friends because you haul them all around. But when daddy takes the T-Bird away, boy, I'll tell you, nobody calls you. Nobody wants to hang out with you because they found somebody else they can freeload off of. This is a danger. And you know, this is one of the things the Bible endeavors to do, because that we love one another the way God loves us. This is how we know real love, God's unconditional love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that gives me a good understanding of way I need to look at what real love is that I give and what is coming to me. You know, does somebody love me just because I have money? Or they love me because I, you know, so good looking? Well, that's great. But what if you get in a car wreck and you're not pretty anymore? What if you get old and you get wrinkles? What if something happens and you get cancer and they have to take your arm off or something? See, conditional love is really, really rotten. And yet that's what the world lives on. I love you if. And almost all your commercials on the media is all based on conditional love. Hey, everybody's going to love you when you wash your teeth with Shiny Bright. Mm-hmm. Well, what if I don't have the money to buy Shiny Bright? Or what if I use another brand? Well, you're unlovable then, dude. See, that's manipulation. Right. And it's in every aspect. And so guys adapt it towards their spouses. Women adapt it towards their spouses. And we find this conditional love kind of thing going on. And it's not based upon God's great love for us. So I would absolutely, Olivia, say if we're going to continue on any longer, we are going to go to marriage counseling, and that will hold him accountable for his behavior. And if he doesn't want to change, if he continues the way he is, then you may have to separate from him. Now, I know some of you out there listening, pastors, oh no, you must never separate. Let me tell you something. I've seen enough black and blue women that have been beat up by their husbands because some minister said, oh, you can't leave him. Even if he kills you, that is a lie. God has not called us to pieces. He's called us to peace. And listen, if somebody wants to act in a demonic way towards who they're married to, there's no way you would stay there. And so understanding what God's word says. Now, the Bible talks about if the unbelieving depart. Listen, if the unbelieving depart, they don't have to necessarily move their bod down the street. They can depart and live right in your house because their heart is somewhere else far away. Yeah. And friends, I think we have to become aware of this, because I've seen abuses oftentimes because we fail to read the entirety of God's word. We just read certain parts of it. And then the poor people, they're just locked into something that is so awful because they don't know what to do. Listen, counseling brings credibility into the marriage. In other words, well, what does he do? Well, he comes home drunk and he throws me against walls. Well, you know, Bobby Joe, do you really do that? Do you come home? Well, I come home drunk sometimes and I might get a little rough. Well, you can't do that anymore. You see, that's abuse. It's also illegal. And you can't do that anymore. Well, okay. Well, next week when we get together, we'll see how you did this week. Next week, you come in and you say, oh, Bobby threw me against the wall again. Well, Bobby, sounds like you don't want to change. If you don't want to change, then you don't want this marriage. See what I'm saying? You step through it. It makes the person accountable for their life. Joe, your thoughts.
Yeah, just first I want to say, man, Olivia, my heart goes out Amen. To you. And I know this must be tough. And I know that even in your struggle right now, God sees you, and your faithfulness to God doesn't mean you have to be silent or passive in this area. And that's why it's even great that you're reaching out. And of course, God's desire is not for us to be abused. Even as you were sharing there, Pastor Mike, that verse in 1 Corinthians 7:15 that says, if the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so. In such case, the brother or sister is not bound. And it's not separation by just physically leaving, but his actions are creating separation in your marriage. And I just want to say that separation is not the same as divorce. Sometimes separating and space apart gives time for healing. And of course, in an abusive situation, it gives time for safety. And at the same time, it can also be a wake-up call for your spouse. And so I would encourage you, Olivia, to keep growing in Christ. Of course, you keep praying for your husband, but that doesn't mean you have to become that doesn't become a reason to accept the abuse. And there are things you can do, as Pastor Mike mentioned, suggest counseling and give the ultimatum. If we don't meet with this, we may have to have a time of separation until you're ready to change.
Pastor Olivia, Mike, real quick, does your husband live with you right now?
Yes. I just have one last question. Well, two. If you guys could pray for me after this. And then, like, the other question is that oh my gosh, I'm losing my train of thought. You guys are already helping me a lot. I'm just going through the files here. It's just a lot of pressure. It just gets, everything gets turned around. And, oh, that's what I was going to say. What's happening right now is I started sticking up for myself, for being spoken to like I'm a piece of garbage. And that's when it gets turned around, like I'm the crazy one. He starts rebuking demons out of me and all this stuff. He doesn't even go to church if I say, please don't talk to me that way. Like, he starts, like, acting like he has the Lord in him and he has to take demons out of me.
Now, Olivia, do you go to church currently?
Yeah, all day, every day. I'm in the Word for the last 17 years.
No, I mean, do you go to church, like a regular church service on Sunday morning?
Oh, yes. Yes,
well,
yes.
I would definitely bring your pastor into this, and this spiritual mumbo jumbo that a lot of times people do that have nothing to do with God. You know, I'm talking this Sunday on the Seven Sons of Sceva. Talk about seven dudes that didn't know God that were full of spiritual mumbo jumbo. The demons jumped on this guy that was demon possessed. Jumped on these guys and tore their clothes off. We're going to talk more about that on Sunday, but no, there's people that use God conveniently when it advances their cause. Olivia, we're coming up on a break. We don't want anyone to go away. We'll be back for more right after this.
I did discuss my options for abortion.
After a series of health issues, this mom felt termination was the only answer.
Was still borderline thinking abortion until the little part at the bottom of the ultrasound started moving, and we realized there were two, and I knew then.
Preborn's network of clinics are there for moms in crisis, offering free ultrasounds and the gospel in action. At just 11 weeks old, these twins cried out for life.
Just seeing that, I said, I can't. I can't.
To learn more, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
Hey, I'm Brant, and her name is Sherry.
Hello.
She's a friend of mine whom we were just praying for because of a surgery she just went through.
Yes, and I am very happy about something you actually talk about all the time, which is
MediShare.
That is right.
Yeah. So what was your experience like with MediShare and the healthcare bills?
Honestly, Brant, seamless. And what a blessing that is when you're already nervous about a health issue, which I was.
Yeah.
Members shared my expenses. There were zero problems. And let me tell you, having people pray with you when you call in with your need, that is just...
It is refreshing.
Yes, that's what it is.
But yeah. I keep telling people, love MediShare, and they love saving tons of money, too. The typical family can save $500 a month.
I am very thankful for MediShare. It is so different, and I mean different in a very, very good way.
It is good different. Call now. They're easy to talk to, and you can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE, 855-91-BIBLE.
Welcome you back to part two of To Every Man an Answer here on this Wednesday afternoon with Joe Jackson from Sure Foundation Fellowship there in Kiau, Hawaii. Great time. Joe, every time I'm there at your church and the times we have shared at your church, it's always been a great time. Always look forward to being with you there in person, as well as you here on Wednesdays with me usually. And so thank you for being here and looking forward to answering some more questions with you here in the second part. Going back to the phones, we had Olivia on the line, married to a non-believer. violent, it sounds like, abusive. And, you know, we were just saying, again, Olivia, that you really need to get into counseling in your fellowship, or certainly your church can direct you where to go, because I'm sure they have dealt with these issues before. But you were saying before we went to the break,
more or less, just if you guys could say a prayer for me, and just, you know, I just, it's very exhausting. He's, again, you know, last year he had me falsely arrested, and obviously everything got dropped. It was false, and he's trying to do the same. This is how I feel. You know that story about the snake? You knew I was a snake when you bit me, and like, yeah. It's just, and I just, I mean, when you met me, and you're like, and you know, I just have such a belief in reconciliation, and I have so much hope in the Lord, and I fear him tremendously. And, you know, I have had the church tell me several different things, but, you know, you guys helped me a lot last time, and that's why I thought I'd give you a buzz.
Well, but Olivia, I'm so glad you did. Yes, we will pray for you. This, what you're involved in here is bigger than you are. And I just want you to know you're going to need, and that's why God made a body. You know, that's why we have church. I mean, real church, not just social club and, you know, just a better way to, you know, have your business succeed. But I mean, a real fellowship where people really care about one another is so important. And I want to tell you, Olivia, you're into something pretty big here. And so that's why I believe you need to go to your pastor. That's why they're there. And to help you, and certainly direct you to those that can help you. But you need to bring accountability into your marriage. That's what's lacking. That's why he gets away with the junk he gets away with. And I'm sure there's probably things that that maybe you can change too that'll make him happy. But the main issue is his lack of a relationship with God. That's going to be the main problem. But you know, God can save him. He could be a completely different man once he comes to Christ. So I would call your pastor today and or tomorrow and say, listen, I need some help. I need some counseling here. And, you know, can we come in and see it? If he goes, well, I'm not going, well, then he doesn't want just as you said, Joe, he doesn't want the relationship healed. And you just can't keep living like that. So right. I believe you can, I think you can get a long way, especially locally there with your local pastor. Father, we just ask you that you'd give Olivia wisdom, the right people around her to bring about a resolve to this very unpleasant life place that she's in right now. So Lord, for all those that are listening as well, that find themselves in the same place, Lord, that you would give them guidance to see a miracle in their home, in Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Olivia, we'll be praying for you. Stay in line. I'll send you a few things that maybe, you know, you can lay on the coffee table. You might pick it up and start reading Time to Grow. It might change his life. Because it's just God's word there that's all arranged. So when you got questions, this little book will give you the answers. Just write verses right out of the Bible. So stay in line. We'll get you taken care of, okay?
Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you both.
All right. Well, God bless you. And let's go to Lisa, California. Hi, welcome.
Hi. Thank you, guys. I just had a quick comment for Olivia. And just something my mom had shared with me many years ago. I've been married 41 years. And I know a lot of times there are, you know, serious reasons why a person needs to separate, you know, concerning physical abuse. However, sometimes separating isn't a good idea. If you can separate in the same home and you need that time apart, yes, I recommend that. But as far as separating, a lot of times that's not a good option, only because depending on if you want to stay in the marriage or not, that's, you know, a personal decision, of course. But that also at the time opens the door for...
Yeah, when the cat's away, the mice eat the cheese, and that's a problem, isn't it? No, I agree. I think that you have to look at this. Sometimes, though, Lisa, I have found that the abuse going on in the home, though, is so bad that they somebody has to leave, because if you don't, somebody's going to die. And you know, we live in an increasingly violent world, and we see it. It's almost promoted in almost every TV, movie, anything that influences our lives. It's just on such an upswing that this is how you resolve problems, is you kill the person or you do this. And the Bible talks about violence on the earth before the flood. The Bible says it'll be like in the days of Noah when Jesus takes the church home. And I believe that there's going to be violence more and more all over. And we're seeing it. Unfortunately, it's in the home. The children witness it. They then carry that into their relationships, that this is normal behavior. It's pretty scary stuff. But no, I agree. If it's not a issue of immorality or something like that, yeah, I think you can separate in the home. If it's an issue of violence, I would tell anyone, get out while you're still alive, because I think it's so important. But Lisa, no, I appreciate your comments.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's just, you know, I agree 100%. Physical violence is totally something different, and especially if you have children who are witnessing that. But yeah, it's just a lot of times nowadays, and I'm just speaking from people that I know and youngsters that I'm around, a lot of times there's, you know, things that go on that, you know, really can be worked out. But it seems like nowadays people are just willing to just toss it. And, you know, sometimes we have to just kind of, depending on what it is, once again, you know, wait on the Lord and just keep in prayer. But yeah, definitely not separate sometimes, because if another person comes in, sometimes there's an unwanted pregnancy. Sometimes there's, you know, a person will step out, and then it's not just two of you anymore. Now you have something else that might stand in the way and create something that you then can't, you know, fix. Or
yeah, and you know, a lot of times the problems in the home is already being caused by somebody else, so then that way when they separate, they just go move in with them. So yeah, there's a lot of issues there, but you know, still people are going to do what they want to do. Joe, any last thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I agree with you too, Lisa, that separation is never a go-to in marriage, that you always want to work the marriage out and do all you can. That separation is only for extreme cases. And so in a case where there's abuse going on in the house, that would be a reason to separate, to get away from that abuse. If it's something that could be worked out, or even as you said, Lisa, separating in the house, of course you want to do that. Of course you want to go to counseling. You want to do all you can to make the marriage to work. But I have seen cases where the abuse was so bad that separation did need to take place. And then the two with counseling rejoin once again. And so that's the only extreme, is if there's abuse going on that you would want to do that. But most of the times, these are things we can work out with God's help. And we shouldn't be so quick to throw in the towel and just because we have a difference of opinion, give up. And unfortunately, we see that a lot today in our culture. Pastor Mike.
Amen. So I hope that helps. Lisa, we'll be praying for you. If you like, stay in line. We'll send you out some things as well for calling in. And thank you so much for your comments.
Thank you.
Lisa, God bless you. Thanks again. Let's go to Robert, Sacramento, California. Hi, welcome.
Hello, gentlemen. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
So thank you so much for taking my call. I would like advice in regards to a situation with a previous pastor. I had a falling out with him, and it's been several years, and I'm pretty black and white on the verse that talks about, if at all possible, be at peace with all men. And I have tried to call, text, Christmas card, nothing, total disconnect, no communication. And I just don't know if you think it's what Jesus would do to let it go at this point.
What was the problem?
Absolutely. I lied to him. My wife and I were leaving the city that the church was in at the time. I had been in that particular building for most of my life, grew up in that church, and that we had a power struggle He wanted the keys back and didn't want me to give them to him in person, which hurt me. I think he was hurt because we were leaving due to us moving. And I lied that I lost the keys so I could essentially enter the building one more time and kind of pray, you know, on my own time, on my own schedule without asking permission. So again, back to that power struggle. I did confess the lie, you know, and after that, it's just the whole relationship and communication just went.
Joe, your thoughts. Blank.
I don't know how.
Yes. So could I ask, how long ago was it that you went to him and confessed and apologized? Because I heard you've written Christmas cards and.
Yes. No, so I did that right away, right? In the whole mess of the situation.
How long ago was this?
3 years. So we're in 2025. Okay. This is 2022.
Okay. Yeah. So it's been a while then since you've apologized. And when you went to him, did you apologize? Did you say, I'm sorry for not telling you the truth? And
Never got the opportunity or was afforded the opportunity to do it in person. It was over text.
Okay.
And that's the last communication we had. So it fell off the planet over text, and that hurt me just because maybe this is selfish of me, but I just wanted one last in person, a coffee, or maybe to even feel that hurt somehow, sure. If that makes sense.
And are you still attending that church?
No. So we had moved at the time, and that was part of what was boiling up with the pain.
Yes. Well, you know, there's a scripture that says if you're at the altar and you realize that your brother has aught against you, go and make it right with him as much as it depends on you. And so I feel like you've done your part in reaching out and apologizing and making things right. God forgives you. And whether or not he has in his heart, you know, that's on him, but you've done your part to make peace and to live peacefully with all. And so that verse is actually Romans 12, verse 18. Paul says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And so as far as it is on you, you've done your part to reach out to make peace. And now it's just praying for the brother and not letting bitterness get in your heart towards him or over the situation. Pastor Mike?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, we have a whole lost world and people are worried over car keys 3 years ago. I mean, to me, it's, you know, talk about straining at gnats and swallowing camels. I mean, I don't know. No, if you've apologized, you've done everything you can do. His unforgiveness towards you is on his conscience, not on yours. And go enjoy your life. You can't make somebody forgive you. It'd be different. You know, the Bible talks about fruits of repentance, but, you know, I mean, here's your keys. I mean, you're not talking, you know, well, I ripped him off for like $40,000 and, you know, I don't want to pay him back kind of thing. Yeah, that's a different story. But this is over a kind of like almost a misunderstanding. So I don't know, Robert. I think there's probably greater issues here than just car keys. So I hope that helps.
Thank you so much. It was keys to the church. Keys to the church.
Well, still, yeah. but you know, I mean that happens. You know, people lose them. People, you know, I mean, yeah, I didn't give them back yet. I'm sorry. Hey, I thought it was. Hey, 3 years ago, yeah, I can forgive somebody like that, especially if you were part of that church. They knew who you were, you know, and so I don't know. Like I say, if you've apologized, it's on his conscience. Right. It's between him and God now, not you. So enjoy your freedom. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, and I just want to say, Robert, I know it's hard sometimes when we do something wrong, we try to make it right, and that other person doesn't want to forgive or move on. That can kind of bother us. But it's just knowing that God has forgiven you, God approves of you, and you don't have to take the offense from the offense that he's taken. You know, the enemy will use offense to bring division, and it seems like it worked here. But both parties don't have to take and hold on to that offense. And I know it can be irritating when people won't forgive and won't make things right. But it's just having that peace, Robert, that you've done your part. And now you just let the Lord work in his heart.
Amen. So I hope that helps, Robert.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
If his birthday's coming up, Christmas, whatever, you can say, Merry Christmas, happy birthday to you or something, but if he wants to hold a grudge, that's between him and God. You've done what the Bible says you're supposed to do. And so, like I say, it isn't over millions of dollars. It was a mistake you made. That's too bad. You shouldn't have done it. Sorry. Okay, let's go on. Set of keys. Okay, big deal. So, Robert, again, there's so many bigger problems in the world right now than a car key issue, a church key issue 3 years ago. And so be about your Father's business. Don't let the past paralyze you. Stay in line, send you out some books, DVDs. Let's go to Bob, Roswell, New Mexico. Hi, welcome.
Hi, pastors. Thank you for taking my call. Just want to say this. I love Jesus.
Amen.
And I hate my sin. Amen. Here's a question. I've been talking with people about pre-trib, post-trib, I'd like you to comment on 1 Thessalonians 9 through 10 and Revelation 3 and 10. Mm-hmm. My question is, do these two scriptures specifically refer to the great tribulation period?
Absolutely. I mean, when you look at verse 10, I'll just read it for all of you listening. It says, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he has raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Very clearly, this wrath that is going to come upon the world, this global judgment that we recognize as the tribulation period, is going to come upon the entire world. It isn't going to be just a localized area in the Middle East or a skirmish between Ukraine and Russia. It's going to be a global wrath of God. And when you realize the first seal judgments appear to be pretty much man-caused, but when you enter into the trumpet and the bowl judgments, I believe these are caused by God himself. And when we realize, as you talk about this in Revelation chapter 3, where God will keep this church from tribulation that's going to come, absolutely. This is the promise. Now, we got to look at something a little bigger here. We're the bride of Christ. The wrath of God is against those of unbelief. Yes, there is going to be a judgment on this earth, but it's not to punish his bride. His bride has been taken out. And something important else to find is in Revelation 4 on, you never find the church on earth again until we come back with Jesus to rule and reign with him at the end of the book. You'll find saints mentioned, yes. You find the elect mentioned, yes. But you never find the church. Yet, when you start in the book of Acts, the church is mentioned on almost every single page, or interpersonal relationships with one another in the church. When I come be with you, and Paul, clear down to his cloak as he's writing Timothy. You find all these different things in the Bible of this closeness of the church, but you don't find the church mentioned in Revelation. It's because it's not here. You'll find saints, you'll find tribulation, you'll find the elect, but you don't find the church. And that's extremely important when you realize it's all the way through the Bible from Acts to Jude. You find this relationship with one another, with God, the church. So I believe there's a lot of verses that speak of this in a very, very clear way. Your thoughts, Joe?
Yeah, and just even some other verses that kind of point to pre-trib. I think of the verse you quoted earlier, Pastor Mike, where Jesus says, just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man when Christ returns. And of course, many times we look at this, and the point here is he's returning, and it will be suddenly, and people will be caught off guard, just like the days of Noah. But also, if you look at Noah, he and his family were delivered from the flood, that God took them away in the ark to safety. When you look at the Old Testament, as God is getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he leads Lot and his family out of the destruction. And so as you look at the character of God, when God's people are living faithfully and serving him, they're always delivered from judgment and wrath. And so God's character, I believe, will continue even as he returns, that just as it was in the days of Noah, that the church will be taken up before wrath is poured out on the earth. And so I totally agree that both these verses point to a pre-trib.
Yeah, and we find it literally all the way through the Bible. In fact, most people before the flood attribute the church to Enoch, who walked with God and was taken. Mm. And then the Jews that we find through the tribulation period are a picture type of Noah and his family on the boat. So I think that it's pretty exemplified. And by the way, he walked with God and was taken. I think that's pretty amazing, because that's what's going to happen to us. We walk with God in a moment, twinkling of an eye. Now, Jesus said, behold, I come as a thief. Hold it. Wait a minute. Bing, 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 bing. Lights go off. Flares are in the air. The Bible says when Jesus comes back, the second coming of Christ, as lightning flashes into the east and goes into the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Every eye will see him. By the way, by that time, every living thing in the sea has died. All the grass is burned up. You find global war, and you find the battle of Armageddon that Jesus stops. The Bible says in Matthew 24, unless those days were shortened, there would be no flesh saved. So man would have eventually completely destroyed himself, is what the Bible says. And yet we find this promise of Jesus saying, watch and be ready. You don't know what hour your Lord's going to come. Now, again, he talks about two at a mill. One will be taken and the other left. Very quick. That does not speak of anything like the second coming. The second coming is a global event. But this Jesus, where he says, I'm coming as a thief. Well, what do thieves do? They take what's valuable. What's valuable to God? Your petty change in your pocket? Your grandma's antique clock? No, what's valuable to God is you, us, his people, his bride. And that's what he's coming for. And Jesus said, watch and be ready. You don't know what hour your Lord's going to come. So very, very clearly, Jesus said, I'm coming as a thief. That is not the second coming. Because Jesus is not coming as a thief. He's coming to rule and reign with a rod of iron for 1,000 years here on this earth. Hope that helps.
Pastor Mike, I had a spirited conversation with a pastor this morning, and I asked him this question. I said, if God's wrath, and it was, if God's wrath was satisfied on the cross, why should I have to suffer wrath in the great tribulation in the future? It doesn't make any sense.
You're right. That's a great point, too. And I couldn't agree more. Evidently, Bob, what you're telling me is this pastor doesn't believe in the rapture, or what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people like that. I have a lot of problem with that. And Jesus said, behold, I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me. He says, I'm coming as a thief. And for some man to say, oh no, Jesus is not coming. Listen, I don't rebuke Christ. When Jesus said he can come at any moment, trust me, he can come at any moment. And I don't need a denomination, a pope, a priest, a Sunday school teacher, a denomination to say, oh no, there's no rapture, or Jesus isn't coming to the middle of the tribulation or the end of the tribulation. What's wrong with that? Well, Jesus said, I can come at any time. I think I'll take the words of Jesus over some man or organization. Joe, any last thoughts?
Yeah, and this is a common thing debated on, but most scripture and evidence shows pre-trib, and even I like what you said there, that God's wrath was satisfied when Christ shed his blood for us, and so it would be unjust for God to again punish us for something he already paid for, and that's how great the cross is, that it satisfied that wage of death that Christ paid for us. Pastor Mike?
Amen. So, Bob, I think you did a good job defending your faith there. So keep reading, keep defending yourself. And if you like, stay in line. I'll send you out some things that you might enjoy. We're all out of time. John, Chloe, the rest, please call us. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. Thanks, Joe, for being on. Look forward to being back with you. Until then, God bless you. Good night.
To receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.